The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Let's call this one the 29th of January. And as I suspected, folks, I told you yesterday, we've got some window dressing at our fingertips. That's what this is all about. Again, this is the show, as they say, always glad to have you, by the way, where they try to bring pit smarts and street smarts together. Well, you know, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of both. How about that? And today's action was indicative of what we would expect at the end of a month that has been just absolutely on fire. January has been a January to remember, folks. And so we see the window dressing effect. This is the T+3 settlement. These are the portfolio managers that have been ever so patient in waiting for a market pullback, and they are not getting it. So what are they doing? They are selling their bonds. One of the reasons you're seeing the bond market doing what it's doing, 2% back in a 10-year again, you're seeing them buying stocks and equities across the board. And with that, by the way, you see them buying back those ETFs that they were selling a little while ago, gold ETFs and oil. Another market that's driven by the ETFs in many cases, which is up big. WTI up another dollar, trading at 97.5. I got to tell you, folks, there's a lot of action in so many different markets. And, you know, we're going to talk about as many as we can today. And by the way, I got a good show for you today. I got Alan Rohrbach coming on. It's always great when we get Alan on. He's always very, very good for giving us a good point of view. But I do want to talk about a couple of things. One, earnings. Once again, you know, look, there's a reason why the Dow has climbed to five-year highs. And, you know, we're less than 1.5% away from an all-time high in the Dow. You know, and one of the things I do want to point out, though, is that the Dow might be, you know, 1.5% away, but the S&P is still a good 4% away, say 3.5% away or so from a move up there. It doesn't mean we're not going to get there. It's just going to take a little while to confirm that move. NASDAQ, on the other hand, is a couple thousand points away from its all-time high. But I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. There is a lot to look at in this market and like. The fact is that you are seeing this move without the NASDAQ being weighed nearly as much as it was back as, you know, when we were making these highs before. Although in 07 it was weighed pretty good, or it wasn't weighed nearly as much as it was in 2000. But I do like the fact that valuations are better. Look at it this way, folks. We're getting to these, what, new all-time highs in the Dow, and you're looking at a P.E. that is half of what it was the last time we were here in the Dow. That's right, folks. Corporate America, we're right around half. Look, corporate America was making right around $60 to $65 a share last time we went to these levels with the S&P and with the Dow. Think about that. Think about that. You know what we're making now? Try 100. Try 102. All right? And what are we going to make next year? How about 110 or 112? And that tells you what's driving this market. So what is the effect of it? Well, you see it. Cyclical rotation, folks. You're seeing markets coming out of, or better yet, cash coming out of fixed income. And that 10-year is I think, you know, going to be right now the real, I guess, if you're gonna put your sights on any of the issues. And I'm going to talk a lot about the yield curve. I want you to pay very close attention to the 10-year on down to the 2. That's the middle part of the curve that you're going to see affected. We're going to see it steepen, all right, especially in conjunction with where we are at the front of the curve. All right, remember, what you have is a Fed that has told us they're going to keep money nice and easy. Well, they do that in a couple of ways. They were doing that through bond buying purchases, but no. Now what they're going to do is they're just going to keep printing money. Well, if they print money, folks, and that's really what it is, at $80 billion a month until we get unemployment down to 6.5%, the way and the effect that we see it take place is in the short end of the curve. It is kept artificially low. So from the 2-year on through the 1-week LIBOR, I don't even want to touch, all right? Because that's where you've got the Fed keeping a firm grip on interest rates. There's no way they're going to let that get. And why do I know that? They've told us that. In fact, they told us that with the last couple of Fed meetings, with the last couple of speeches, and today's Fed meeting, which we will see, of course, tomorrow, the results come out on, you know, is going to be the, I think, another one of those pieces of the puzzle where you're going to get more and more people talking, quite frankly, about when are we going to see the end of quantitative easing, even if we don't get a 6.5% unemployment rate. Why? Well, because you're starting to see the market improve. It's starting to come back a little bit. So today's action, again, a lot of it has to do with the fact that you're getting to the end of the month. A lot of it has to do with the fact that you have got the window dressing effect in what is turning out to be one of the best Januaries in a long, long time. But for me, the kicker, and this is the key, folks, all right, is that you're finally getting capitulation. Remember, even though the market's going up, and some of you might think that we're in a bull market, if you talk to the analysts, they'll tell you otherwise. You know, depending on who you talk to, they will tell you that this is nothing more than just a bear market rally. All right. The move that we're seeing here for them, and Nassim Taleb said that on TV yesterday, you know, he's looking for the next black swan event. Well, you know, let me put it this way, folks. When you look for black swan events, they don't happen. All right. On the other hand, if you just protect yourself with insurance at pretty much all times or have a position on, then, you know, if it does happen, then you're prepared for it. But when you play for it, folks, all right, it doesn't happen. Look, I said it yesterday and I'll say it again. As smart as Nassim Taleb and Nario Rubini are, I blame them for keeping more people out of the market the last few years than anybody else. I guess you could throw David Faber into that too, all right? Or Faber, whatever his name was. Yeah, Mark Faber, not David Faber. You know, the doom and gloom, Dr. Doom and Gloom. But, you know, again, getting down to it. And you know what? I just wanted to get to the heart of the matter, folks. All right, and the heart of the matter is this, that things are nowhere near as bad as people were making them out to be. I was talking that through with you, with everybody that would listen over the course of the last few months, only because, as I said to you when we were talking about Europe, failure was not an option. As I said to you when we were talking about China, it is all transitional politics that is playing into the economy. And for those of you that were convinced we were seeing a double dip recession here in the States, well, think again, folks, because you know what? That's not going to happen. But you know what? Why don't we bring in Alan Rohrbach here? You know, only because it's always good to have Alan's point of view in here. Alan, how are you doing today, by the way?
Doing great, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm looking at this market, and I'm watching the window dressing effect that took place today. And I guess the real question is this, you know, number one, how much of it do you think is window dressing? How much of it is capitulation? And you heard what I was just saying about the Nario Rubinis and the Nassim Talebs of the world. Give me your take on that. Let's get a little maybe market philosophy in here in this first segment.
Well, first of all, I'm very flattered you consider me a philosopher, not just a macro technical.
You're more than that. You're a Renaissance man, Alan. Come on. You're a little
more
bit of everything. I like that.
And there is a bit of philosophy here related to Taleb, interestingly enough, because even he, another capitulation by one of the gloom and doomers or the crisis mongers, even he said something that said, I think he's been listening in to Jack Baruchian lately. I really do. And the reason I say that is he said that not right here, but as the market maybe seeks higher levels, you have to watch out for the black swan event. But he pretty much said just what you said, which is, but you cannot plan this and time it. He said, as the pricing of the market's rich once again, buy protection. He goes, what I've done, and he admits, which he did previous, by the way, unlike Rubini, who was an overt gloom and doomer, or Meredith Whitney, who had all this threatening stuff.
But here, Nassim Taleb was a trader. He was on the floor. He blew out three times. Okay, and this was after being a wonderful currency trader at Credit Suisse. I remember I covered him, I know, and then he came down to trade options on the floor, went into the S&Ps, and, you know, was up against, you know, guys like me, Alan, and you, and he could not compete, all right? He could not compete. See, that's what I always like to point that out to people, because
that fits right in with what he's doing now, because he says, I'm long the market, and what I've done is you buy out of the money puts as protection. He goes, you cannot, much like you said, he said, you cannot time the black swan event. He goes, something's going to happen. Nobody knows what it is. That's why it's a black swan event. But they said to him, so you'd buy puts right now. He said, deep out of the money. You want to guarantee against a catastrophic result. You don't necessarily want to walk in every day thinking, well, this is the top, and not participate. Well, who does that sound like, Jack?
Yeah, it sounds like,
you.
Well, I got to tell you, though, he's changed his tune quite a bit then, because he was looking for the Black Swan event.
Right.
He was looking for this move down. And Nariel Rabini, by the way, I don't know Nariel Rabini. I know Nassim Taleb. I've met him, and I've talked to him. Nariel Rabini seems to me as if there's a lot of ego involved. You know what I mean? He cannot admit that he's wrong. Whereas Nassim will be flexible with his position.
Right.
He will try to. He came out. You know, Nariel Rabini came out the other day and said things are not as worse as he thought they were going to be.
Right.
And I thought to myself, well, you know what that is? That's
the equivalent of him saying, I've become a screaming bull.
I was going to say, that's a spin. I mean, come on. I didn't like that at all.
Right.
But are you seeing, I guess, from that 30,000-foot view, Alan, are you seeing what seems to be any capitulation at all? Because, you know, the sell-side sentiment, which is something that a lot of people look at, is still under 50. And when it's under 50, it's usually a very bullish signal. Bank of America does a lot of that work.
Right.
And whenever they look at that, so they put out a piece to their customers saying that this is another year where we could see 20 to 30% up in the equity market based off of that sentiment indicator. I guess my question is, you know, what do you think of that? And do you see sentiment changing?
Well, I see sentiment changing in the obvious way on a couple of things you can pick up on lately, which is the fact that the money is coming out of bonds into stocks. You've discussed that at length. I don't think we need to dwell on that extensively here. But also, you know, the kind of things professional traders do, where you are right now looking at the second highest Treasury put volume on record. So it's saying people who own the treasuries don't want to get out because they don't want the transaction cost.
They might not ever get out, Alan. I think, you know, you and I talked about this before
on
the demographic
puts.
Basis.
Right.
You know, some of these people, as they get older and older, and we're seeing, of course, the baby boomers getting older,
right.
They're not going to get out of those bond positions.
And they're going to get, if they don't need the money sooner than maturity, they'll get their full principal back.
That's right.
They're not worried about collecting 2%. Or 1.5% or 2.5% interest.
But it makes sense buying bonds puts.
This is more, right, but this is more so, of course, the public isn't doing that. This is professional bond fund traders. Have to be long the bonds for the yield, but they're very long the puts now, which they're saying we have a bearish view. So what I'm seeing, more so than, well, am I seeing anything being overdone? No, we said we could go into the low 1500s. We're first getting to the part of the move where it would begin to get overdone.
Well, we're going to talk markets in a second here. We're going to talk it in the next segment. I want to still concentrate on this idea of sentiment.
Right.
Though.
I was going to go into a technical discussion right there. You're right. We can do that later and say where are the levels you need to look for. But look at all of the negative news the market is ignoring. There is a lot of negative news out there still and a lot of negative background. I mean, the idea of the crisis.
Well, what negative news do you see? Give me.
Well, the pending home sales from yesterday. And if you think about, well, they're saying, well, but sales were depressed because you still have 11 million people who are underwater on their mortgages. So that's why it's depressed.
I saw it a different way. And I'll explain, because I talked about that yesterday on the show.
Right.
You've got a depletion of inventory. You don't have any houses for sale anymore. You've got less for sale than you've ever had.
But the
and
buyers
they're starting
are
to get
professional
reflected
buyers.
Into the market.
They're not natural long-term resident buyers. They're professional buyers who are speculating on rent staying
so
high.
You think housing's still struggling then?
I do, and who was on this morning on CNBC, the head of a significant investment group, not a trading group, and he said, yes, the buying is there for homes, but you have a restricted supply because of the people underwater. They can't afford to sell. Maybe they'd like to sell, but that's not there. You still have some goodly shadow inventory at banks, and the increased sentiment has created a lot of professional buying, people who are buying as investors. And he says those are people whose sentiment can change, and it can go away. But look at consumer confidence today. Big miss. And this is classical, though, Jack. I'm not saying, oh, look at all this, so the market's phony and going up.
You know what? Look, we need to balance this out here because we're always looking at
talking
good. The
market is always a fine balance, in my view. As someone who, for a long time, studied technicals, I see these bigger objectives. You know, when they went above 1475, I said, low 1500s, here we come. I'm saying, hey, $40. Like, it's nothing, but it's actually something. It's a pretty substantial move if we get to 15-15 or 15-25. But regardless of that, the market, except in some of the bigger secular moves, to me always looks like a balance that when it's going up gradually, it's a 55% bullish versus 45% bearish factor, so the bull wins out. When it's going up fairly sharply, it's 60% bullish 40. Versus 40. You have to maintain that balanced view, and remember, in the background, as it's going up, it's ignoring the factors that down the road will cause it to react.
Well, I'll tell you what, hang on to that thought. I want to come back and figure out what else you've got in your head that you think is bad news. Then let's talk some technicals on the market itself, because we're taking out some very interesting levels here. All right, and then let's go and talk a little bit about what's going on around the rest of the world. This is Jack Berugin with Alan Rohrbach, folks. Don't go away. We got a lot more coming.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on the Jack B Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, on this Tuesday, last Tuesday of January here, folks. You're seeing T plus three settlement type of action today, which drove the market higher. Another green day for the Dow. You got to love it. It's getting up to these contract highs. We got Alan Rohrbach with us today. Alan, of course, is the founder of Roar International. He's got his Roar blog out, Roar-blog.
Yeah, Roar-blog. Search engine that. That's not the URL, but you'll get there.
You'll get there. Again, some of the best work out there. And by the way, Alan, we had Arun Umapathy on from the Bull & Bear Institute yesterday, and he was bragging about this project that you guys are doing together. Something about revolutionizing the way work and trading are brought together. Tell me in just a couple of minutes, because I know that you guys aren't done with it, but give me a little idea of what that is.
Well, you're right, Jack. It is a work in progress, and you know, everyone likes to throw out the term, I've got something revolutionary, but I'll say this is at least a quantum evolution of how people who are actual investors, maybe not active traders, although active traders are welcome to take advantage of what we're developing, how people who are investors who can't, let's say, jump into a trading room and sit there for several hours each day, how they can take advantage of seeing the thoughts of professional trend analysts like me and professional options analysts like Greg Hadley and Tom Henrich. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be offering a really different kind of blog, a blog that is basically going to be a spyglass into our conversations that we do in text. We concentrate on Skype, and we have comments going back and forth on what I call the flow of market perceptions, on how things look, what would be opportune, what we'd avoid, and those are the kind of things then we'll send out notices when they're updated, which will be intraday during the daytime, and hey, people who can't get to it right away can see the conversation without having to have been committing themselves to hours of sitting in a trading room. We think it's going to be very useful for real investors as well as any of the short-term traders.
Arun also said that you guys were going to create strategies and try to employ that around your opinions because you've got direction and they've got technique. So
exactly.
You're going to bring them together.
You sum that up beautifully, Jack, because we a few months ago, later part of last year, we got to talking about the trend direction I can see at times where, as you know, from our on January 9th, we were on the market update for the CME open markets, and you asked me what I thought about the resistance above the market when it's still down around 1460. And I said, well, if it ever gets above 1475, low 1500s, here we come. Got a high today on March S&P future 1503. That's not to say I told you so, but let's talk about how that relates to the product. Because a lot of credit to Greg Hadley for schooling me further on really optimal options tactics. And what we ended up with is what we're calling the better butterfly. It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it, Jack?
It does,
better
actually. Butterfly. I like that.
And what that amounts to is a different way to approach multi-day, even at times multi-week, 2 and 3 week approaches when you see a bigger move coming. We can keep the cost way down on entry and true cost, because you're always big on risk management, Jack, and saying literally you buy in options positions. You never sell options. You don't want that open-ended exposure. You buy an options position on a special type of butterfly. We're trying to keep the entries very cost-effective, several S&P dollars. So on the E-mini,
well,
$150.
I think it's also a question of risk, too. It looks like, first of all, by the way, when Alan is talking about these things, do your own homework, folks.
Please.
Know, whether it be with the people over at Bull and Bear and Alan, or whether it be with anybody, know what the risks are. Know that a performance bond is something where if you put it up, you could lose more than you put up, like a margin. So it's something to keep in mind. But
well, and following up on that comment, Jack, that's the beauty. That was always a bit of a challenge for me as a trend analyst. If you're going to have net positions, well, war can break out tomorrow. You could see the S&P open $50 lower, or some huge piece could break out. You could see it open $50 higher if you're the wrong way. Huge profit or loss, especially potential huge loss. What we're doing over there, you cannot, and I mean this literally,
you're limiting
cannot
the risk.
Lose more than what you pay. Yeah. To enter the position.
Now that is
thing.
A phenomenal way to trade, but I don't want to spend too much. I did want to just give everybody a feel because we did talk about
that,
it yesterday, and I know that everybody. And here, look, we talk about your work all the time because it's quality work, Alan. So let's get into it right now. All right.
Sure.
Good segue. You like that?
Segue back to where we were.
Right where we were.
What's the market ignoring while it goes up?
As it goes up, what's it ignoring? And more importantly, as we're talking, why don't you start to give me some of these levels that you're looking at that the market needs to take out, if any, to the upside for it to run up to the all-time highs?
Well, this gets to be more a matter of targets above that 1,475 for the March S&P future or a subsequent contract. That's from the continuation chart, the lead contract S&P. Although March is going to be around for, over a month yet.
Right.
Now, when we have both historic levels and we try to correlate those to readings on the current market momentum, of course, a thorough analysis is going to say, where are we against any historic resistance? Well, you have some of that up into, and this is, again, March S&P future. If you're watching the cash, it's still approximately a $5 premium, and you can just add that on if you're watching cash S&P. You have 1,510 as an interim level. But the place where the market would get really stretched out again, like it did last summer before it topped out and had the bigger correction in 12 and 2011 would be approximately, specifically, it's about 115 points, $115 over the 41-week moving average that's just coming up to about 1,400 even. So you'd be looking between $115 and $125 over. So there's also some historic resistance
so,
up
so
around.
So let's put that. So that's 15 and a quarter, right around there?
15 to 15.25.
Okay.
And 15.25 happens to be a significant historic resistance from back when the market was up, you know, near the highs back into 2007. So
let's go through this for a second so I understand what's through your mind here. You say that when it gets that much over, what average is that now?
41 week.
The 41 week.
Right.
So is that about as much as you've seen it, the market ever extend over the 41
Not
week?
Not ever, but very typically, it's had multiple tops into those kind of levels. It's topped out multiple times into those kind of levels, including, as I mentioned, back in May of 2011, when it was up in approximately the, you know, 1360 area. That's when it topped out. When you go back to last year, when it was up into approximately the 1415 area or so, that's about where it topped out. So that's where we now look. You know, the 41-week average, as the market rises across time, it really lags. It's well behind it, but it is drifting higher. So the new extended equivalent would be up into that 1,525 area. That's the point at which
that makes a lot of
you
sense,
look for
Alan,
the black
like
swan
that.
Event. That's where you say, well, if it gets hung up here, what kind of protection do I want? And you saved money by not being hedged more heavily on the way up. That's the point at which you say,
see, that fits the scenario if you think about it. And folks,
yeah.
I want you to listen to this because, you know, Alan and I, and Alan more than me, he's been around the markets a little longer than I have. I'm about to say something and you can either disagree or agree. When everybody knows of a number, like an all-time high, the market either goes up through it or it fails to make it.
Right.
But it never goes
right
to right. that point, does it?
No, it doesn't.
No, and I got to feel. So that's why I'm thinking that this would be a perfect scenario. I was on Kudlow's radio show the other day, and I said, you know, as bullish as I am, I said, and I have been for the last couple of hundred S&P points, I think that a 3 to 5% pullback is probably in order. That would be exactly what I would be looking for because that is indicative of a bull market break, one of those easy little pullbacks that doesn't give everybody enough chance to get in. How about that?
Right.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a few minutes, and then when we come back, I want to talk and finish up this discussion on S&Ps. Let's talk about support in the event that we do get our little 3 to 5% pullback, where that'll take us. And then let's talk a little bit about some of these other markets around the world. A lot going on out in Germany. You were telling us last week, Alan, about what was coming out in Germany and what's happening in China.
Big week.
So let's see what plays into that. This is the Jack B. Show, folks. Again, don't go away. I got a lot more coming for you.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Again, on this Tuesday where we're seeing the markets reacting well to what is going on. And what is going on, folks? Earnings, earnings, earnings. Look, you know what? We can talk about the end of the month. We can talk about the fact that you've had one of the best Januaries in a long time. You can talk about all the cash on the sidelines. But what is making this market go up, bottom line, in my humble opinion, are these earnings that are coming out that are beating the street in many cases. In fact, in 73 quarters of who are the companies that have reported so far are beating the street, folks. That tells you something right there. And it's one of the reasons that we're hitting these levels that that Alan Rohrbach told us we were going to hit. And Alan, if we do turn around and see this 3 to 5% pullback, which I think we will, and I suspect we touched this 15 and a quarter area that you were just talking about. First of all, where do you think we pull back to? And I guess, secondly, you know, give me your overall synopsis there. Would you be looking for a 3 to 5% pullback? Would you be looking for something maybe a little bit more with some more traction to it?
Right. Well, of course, if you hit 1525, obviously a 5% pullback would be somewhere around, you know, the better part of 100 points. Okay. I mean, that's actually more than 5%, but 5% would be around 85 points. So
yeah,
let's call it 100 bucks from 1525 is 1425. Now, that creates a bit of a dilemma. If you're talking more about a 3% correction, you'd be more so in line with that, you know, 1475 we overran.
Right.
1475 to a lot of congestion, actually. As you know, I pointed out, and that was in that same video we did for the market update for the Merck.
That was a big congestion
1465 area, 6065. So 75 was the extreme high. 6065 is where the congestion was. And, you know, there you are with your basically a 4% correction right there.
Where is, in your mind, the line, the demarcation line on the downside? Is it the 1475 level? Is that the over-under, I guess, for where the market
yes,
is looking good
1475, but again, the meat of the support there is 6065 area. They'll shake out the really weak hands below 75, but if they're, as long as they're not closing on a weekly close below roughly 60, market's probably still okay. Much below 60, well, you're back in a lower range again.
So it makes sense for the market to go down there and do a little bit of work and shake some people out. The week longs, as
right,
it always gets, as it always said, gets shaken out first, and then of course
right,
that's the only way we can go up. Talk to me about some of these other markets around the world.
The first thing is the interest in the bond market, where after holding up better than the others for quite some time.
I think we were all in shock by that, by the way.
Right. The T-note, you know, which was an oddity because you were talking about the bond market related to the economy that was actually leading the way up in terms of saying we're going to continue to grow. You know, U.S. is like a plus 2% for the year. Europe, in a reasonable scenario, not a bad recession, would be minus 2%. So it's kind of like we were the ones that were growing and, well, what's happening? The bunds and the gilts, well, the UK does also is a much weaker economy. their bond markets were getting hit harder. And in fact, the Bund just knocked out some key support for you aficionados of international bond futures. It just knocked out, after multiple tests since right after the first of the year, the 142 60 to 30 support yesterday.
Which is driving those yields in the German rates
those
higher.
Yields higher.
Where is that money going, Alan? Is it going into equities?
It's going into the DAX. Yeah, well, I think all the bond money is going to the equities. But the most important bit is the U.S. Treasury note future, the equivalent, because they're all 10-year.
Right.
You know, you can't compare our 30-year bond to the 10-year Bund. Is below, finally.
The big support?
131.5 area as of yesterday.
And that, I think, equates to about the 197 level in rates.
Right.
So, which is, I mean, and folks, remember, the rates and prices have this inverse relationship. So when Alan's talking about the support in the bond market getting taken out, that means, of course, that the rates are going to go higher.
Indeed.
And Alan, I guess, you know, how much is that tied globally? Do you think that what is happening in the Bund market is tied directly to what's happening with the 10-year? Are these, I guess, you know, incestuous markets?
Generally, the correlation is equities counterpoint, as in the opposite action, back into the bond markets now. And there have been long periods where equities and bonds can go up together, but we're in a more classical situation where the further the equities go, the bonds just don't like it, even if it is just money flowing in for now. Let's say in Europe, it's not really that much of an improved economy, but they're saying it speaks of the equities being a harbinger of better economies to come, and therefore you lose two things. One, you lose your depressed yield in the Bund because people are worried, well, maybe we'll get more inflation. But secondly, you lose your premium price in the Bund because money's flowing back into the peripheral markets. You know,
what's
the
going on in Germany that is driving this? You know, last time you were here, you said there was information that was coming out of Germany. What's happened there in the last couple of weeks as far as economic releases go?
Absolutely. That's what it is, the economic releases and the fact that things like IFO and ZEW for Germany were better than expected, even as the statistics for Spain and Italy and even France to some degree are still weak. The France, you know what's funny? One of the things we said, what are we going to get late this week? Well, Friday, before we see the U.S. employment number, first of the month, it's an odd sort of calendar where we're going to see the international manufacturing PMIs and, of course, the European ones were worse than expected in France and better than expected in Germany. But because of the holidays, the advanced numbers were just released last Thursday. It's like six business days. And so they're not going to be any change. And you're going to see that strength in Germany. And people are putting a lot of faith, maybe wrongly, saying, well, if Germany's okay, the rest of Europe will eventually follow along. And that's one of the things the market's ignoring. That is not necessarily true. The Spanish labor market, the French, you know, labor market, et cetera, et cetera.
Can Germany carry Europe?
No, it cannot. Germany, as a matter of fact, will burden the rest of Europe with its success.
How about the North? How about Scandinavia? Because Scandinavia
they go with Germany.
They go with Germany.
But they're not as big as Spain and France.
But they are doing well. They're not doing great. These are not economies that are struggling out there.
No, they're doing great. They bit the bullet, went through their banking reform after the crash, said, okay, the banks are in trouble, bit the bullet, recognized the losses. Iceland's economy is coming back. All of them are coming back very strongly because they did what they had to do.
How about Japan? I mean, I want to switch gears on you because, you know, the 2%, all of a sudden their inflation rate, you know, they've decided to start printing up yen and toss it out the windows. What does that tell you?
It's another great hostage to fortune out there, Jack, because it is becoming the great attractor for criticism of the policy they need to spur their economy further and create what they feel is beneficial inflation just to get out of deflation, like the opposite must be better.
They've been in this problem for two decades. I mean, I worked with the Japanese at Nikko Securities almost 20 years ago and they had this problem.
I was cleaning out some old paperwork the other day. I found the early 2010 BOJ major announcement about the anti-deflation program.
Did you really?
Early 2010. Unbelievable. But look at the Nikkei. Now, the Nikkei
It's starting to act.
Well, it pushed up markedly above 10,000, but it has some support up around 10.9 to 11,000. It's hung up there. It's not making further progress.
No, you know what? I like what I see happening there. I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, I think Japan might be one of those big surprises this year. All right, let's take a few minutes, come back, and wrap it up here. This is The Jack B. Show.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
And welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here. And, you know, you were talking about some of the numbers that came out, Alan, a little while ago, and how you were a little disappointed with I think it was pending home sales yesterday, the way it came out. And I kind of gave you my spin on it. Today's number on consumer confidence, give me your spin on that, because, I was a little concerned about that.
Tax relationism, Jack.
Is that what it is?
Look, how much can consumer confidence are looking for it to go up right as just what the Democrats said they were not going to allow to happen? Taxes go up on the average guy. Payroll taxes up 2%. People just have less money, and they know it. They got the pay packet already. They've seen it.
Yeah.
And this plays into an important point we've discussed previous, and I'm going to blog on again very soon about these markets And the statistical comparisons are all benefiting from this January effect, this effect of positive sentiment out of December, certain number of the comparisons coming out of December into January, month on month, are very positive, so on and so forth. Because December, everyone was so nervous because of the fiscal cliff. So things looked a little weaker there. It's going to look a little better. But when you get out into February and we start seeing retail sales for February, you know, a week from this Thursday, next week Thursday, is the major chain store sales for January. That's going to be an interesting statistic. And this is where I say, folks, it's been a lot of fun being bullish the market, but you're going to see services PMIs. You see the manufacturing PMIs Friday, of course, with U.S. non-farm payrolls. That's important. That number's tended to outperform. So I think you got a bullish phase that I knew would be at least to mid to late month. I think it could last right into the end of this week. Next week, when you get into the global services PMIs on Tuesday, and you're going to get into the central bank meetings next Thursday, that's the Bank of England and the ECB, and you're going to also see Tuesday morning, you're going to actually get the, aside from all those services PMIs, you got the Reserve Bank of Australia. They normally have a fairly well-articulated statement. When you start to see all these statistics, I think where you end up is very possibly with a picture that is just a bit less positive than the better data we're getting right now.
Well, here, let's not go that far. Let's go to tomorrow. We've got our central bank meeting. They started today. We're going to see the announcement come out tomorrow. And, of course, you know, we'll all be, you know, patiently waiting for the announcement at 1:15 Chicago time when they come out and make their statement. What, if anything, do you expect to hear from them? Or do you expect to hear more of the same where they're still looking for their 6.5% target?
Let's remember what happened the last meeting. This is the kind of stuff you and your listeners really like about the stuff that, hey, folks, here's what we heard, but it wasn't as it appeared. I think with this equity market, you know, the wealth management transfer channel that Bernanke likes to use, the pension cure channel that he likes to use, there's nothing the Fed is going to say to get in the way. And then we'll see what really went on the next set of minutes. Remember what happened last time? It looked like a pure QE statement, and then they questioned it when the minutes came out. I think tomorrow, especially, remember, folks, even though it's a two-day meeting, very important point, this is not one of the major projections and press conference meetings. It happens to be 2 days. There's going to be no press conference.
Right, it's the 1:50. There's no 11 o'clock Chicago time press conference Q&A.
Straight statement. And the straight statement, I think, is going to say, well, things are still growing slowly. We still stand prepared to support the bond
market. Do you think that the market, the equity market going up and the economy improving a little bit will, I guess, force the Fed's hand?
That is another hugely interesting question. I know everybody's thinking about that. Two things. One, just as that might have occurred, look what's happened to the rotation of the voting members. Suddenly you've got more dovish voting members coming on board.
You know what? That's very important.
That's
important. People haven't talked. I have not heard one person talk about that on CNBC.
Well, you've heard it on the Jack Berusian show, folks.
Explain that to people.
Well, you have a certain number of the hawks, you know, people like Lacker in Richmond and Plosser and Fisher, who has not been a voting member now, but who has been quite vocal about the lack of impact of QE infinity. And you're seeing people be getting voting members now, Evans in Chicago and people like that.
Is Yellen now a voting member?
I think she is also.
Because she's another big dove, I know that.
Another big dove. And what's happening is, in the last set of minutes, there even seemed to be some confusion about the fact they were reverting to a potentially more economically sensitive stance on QE that could mean it ended a bit earlier. Remember, the market didn't.
Well, that's why I asked. You know, the question is, I mean, because they told us they were going to look for 6.5% inflation rate or unemployment rate, and that's what we all keyed on. You know, and then all of a sudden they came out and said, "Well, wait a second, no, the market's doing well."
I think the statement tomorrow will be wholly accommodative, dovish, and the market will like it. But it may create the kind of flurry of buying, along with any kind of decent jobs number on Friday, that drives you up to those extended levels. I think we could be on our way on the back of the Fed to you know, something like 10 to 15, you know, an increase of another $12 or so into tomorrow.
That would make perfect sense to me. And that's where it would stall out. And I think coinciding with your 41-week average that you just talked about,
right,
I could see how that can happen.
How they would want to be stretched out, figuring, hey, we're up, but the Fed is going to remain accommodative. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is the last interim resistance the market overran, not the big level back at 75 we've discussed. There was some interim resistance at 1,485 to 90. And you'll notice none of the recent pullbacks have even been able to get quite back to 1490. So, but you know, you could, in other words, you could break back below some of the recent pullback lows, but if you're not back below 1485, it's probably good even if it reacts not well to the Fed or some other news in the next few days. But my instincts are the market is usually anticipatorily bullish into the Fed. I think we're going to push up a bit further above 1,500, and unless what the Fed has to say is a real disappointment, you're going to not do much worse than 1,500 in the near term once it gets further above it.
We have GDP coming out also tomorrow. I think it's the final look, I believe, at third quarter GDP, if I'm not mistaken. Do we have any surprises there?
No.
Okay, that's good to know. Because I do not want to see a surprise there.
And besides, compared to the sheer money flow and positive psychology, it's being looked at as old news.
No, you're probably right.
It is old news.
Alan Rohrbach, folks. Alan, it's always a pleasure having you on, my friend. Of course, you
pleasure
can read Alan's blog, Alan-blog, right?
It's R-O-H-R, Rohr.
Rohr, not Alan.
R-O-H-R-blog.
I like it.
Just search engine it by... sometime soon, I will have ROHR-blog as the official URL.
You know, it's about time you buy that thing. Come on, open up those pockets, will you?
Work in progress.
Alan, again, always a pleasure. This is Jack Berugin. Again, have yourselves a marvelous night tonight. Keep an eye on those economic releases. More importantly, keep an ear open for what the Federal Reserve might say or might not say tomorrow. That could be very interesting. This is Jack Berugin. Have a great night. I'll talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.